Okay, gentlemen, take a look, if you will, at number 13. This is a question of greeting a person with God's name. Okay? So if you look at number 13, which is on page 2, well, look at the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Hiskinu shehei adam shoel eshlom chaver b'shem. They made a takana that a person, when he greets his friend, he should mention the name of God. Shenemar. And as we discussed last time, you should.
The pasuk that the evil, if you forget Torah, then you can be over the Torah.
Okay, that's something else. We're going to get back to that. But why do I greet somebody and mention the name of God? Where do we derive it from? From Rus. V'hine Boaz b'mi beis lechem v'yom lekotzrim Hashem imachem. But he didn't say Hashem the way we say Hashem. He said the name of God. V'yomru lo, and they responded, Yirech Hashem. Fine. So Rashi says the following. I have that in italics for you. B'shmo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you should greet a person with the name of God. V'lo amrinon. What does that mean, v'lo amrinon?
We don't say.
Correct, we don't say. Mizalzel hu b'chvodo shel mokom. What does that mean, mizalzel?
To downgrade, right?
To insult. We're either insulting the honor of God, Bishvil Kavod Abrios. We're on number 13. Number 13 on page 2.
The holy number.
When a person wants to give kavod to another human being, at the expense of, in a sense, degrading God or the cover, the fear that and the awe that we have to have for His name, you know, you're in a balanced situation. Logically, if we don't have a reason otherwise, then Kavod Hashem is that much greater than Kavod Abrios. And therefore, we shouldn't be mezalzel b'kvodo shel makom lahotzi shem shamayim alo. But v'lomdo miboaz she'omar Hashem imachem. And Rashi quotes other cases that we learn it, and we see that you're allowed to do it. By the way, do you have to do it?
No. It's a takhidr.
But it says hiskinu. What does hiskinu mean? Shehei adam shoel eshlom chaver b'shem. What we derive from Boaz and other sources is that you can have license to do it, but that it becomes a fixed requirement, establishment by the chachamim.
We swear to.
Yeah. That we do.
Hashem, how are you?
Yeah. Correct. Shalom Aleichem, and we say Yivech Hashem.
We don't actually
all
say
this.
Hashem's name. That would be very bad because then we'd be over the Lot Yisrael Hashem Hashem
Hashem.
So that's what I'm telling you. That it's not Lashav. And the Chacham made this takona, and they felt it was absolutely necessary to make this takona. Oh, thank you so much. Ooh.
But don't you think it would be Lashav? I'm just.
From no water, I got all this water.
Now, I
think I have enough to last me until.
Wouldn't it be Lashav? You're basically saying Hashem's name. How many people do you meet a day? How many people do you greet? 15 people? So you're basically saying Hashem's name 15 times? Do you think it's a little bit Lashav?
Okay, so look, we have to look in Shulchan Aruch. We're going to try to go through this and see under what circumstances is it necessary or is required to say the name of Hashem. Okay? Now the Gemara says that what's the principle that operates here? Eis la'sos Hashem, eferu sarasecha. Let's look at the Meiri's interpretation, number 14. He says, V'skinu shiyehei adam shoel b'shlom chaver b'shem. Why did they make this takana that a person should mention Hashem's name? K'dei sheyodu shahasholom v'shar habrochos magios michvodo. Interesting. When you greet a person by mentioning God's name, that's an educational process. You're making a statement and communicating a faith, a belief in God to your fellow man. That peace, when you say God's name and may God give peace to you, that's called shoel b'shlom chaver. People don't realize that I don't understand. When you see someone on Shabbos, what do you say to them?
Shalom.
So some people say good Shabbos. But in truth, if you say Good Shabbos, you're really not going as far as you should go. Yeah, because if you just say Good Shabbos, then maybe you have a kiyum of Kol Shabbos, but you're missing this mitzvah of being mekabel es chavero b'shem, of being shol b'shem b'chavero. For that you need Shabbat Shalom, because the name of God here is Shalom. And what you're basically saying is that the source for all peace is Almighty God. He's the one who bestows peace. In fact, in the parsha that we read just yesterday, it's hard to believe it's just yesterday, it seems so long ago, what did God bestow, what gift did God bestow upon Pinchas? Brisi Shalom, and then Ben Kahuna as well. But the main gift was Briti Shalom, but you know, harmony. Some of the first say it means harmony between the body and the soul, you know, living in a perfect harmony. We always have a little bit of a conflict between the bodily needs and the soul. What happens, by the way, if you have absolutely no conflict between body and soul? If they can live together harmoniously. Yeah, you can live forever. And that's why Pinchas lives forever. Who's Pinchas? He's Eliyahu. I mean, if you go with that, Mahal. That's some of the commentaries go that way. He says, Harimatsidu came bibosh, Omar Hashem Imachem, God is with you. And therefore, you have to understand that the blessings come from Hashem. That's why, by the way, people, do you know people who, anytime they do something, they say, Bezras Hashem? Mm-hmm. Or anytime that something good happens, they say Baruch Hashem. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes it irritates you. You think, why are they getting so frum on you? You know, they're being so pious.
No, when you ask them how are they say Baruch Hashem. Well,
right.
Does that mean you're good or bad?
Right, excellent. But at least what's going on here, I think the Shalom HaKadosh, by the way, he lived about 3 centuries, 2.5 centuries ago, his name was Horowitz. He was very big into saying Baruch Hashem all the time, and he encouraged his students, his disciples, to say Bezras Hashem all the time, because it's this Gemara, I think, that he got it from, this Meiri, who says that we have to constantly train ourselves and educate ourselves to understand that everything comes from Hashem. And what I find interesting, if you go back to the previous page, you'll see in Rashi on the bottom of number 9, which is all the way at the bottom of page 1, Rashi says that this halacha of Shehei Adam Shoel B'Shom Chavero and say the name of Hashem is derived from Eis Lasos Lashem Eferu Sar Secha. That's the Gemara in Brachos Daf Samach Gimel. And it's all based on this Mishnah that we saw over here at number 13 in Brachos Daf Nun Dalid Amud Aleph.
How is that Eis Lasos Lashem? It's not like if you don't say, you know, Hashem's name, it's going to be like a horrible thing, whatever. I thought that's like an emergency type situation. Like, for example, if the Oral Torah is not going to be remembered, you'll have to write it down. Not like, you go Hashem's name, transgress a commandment.
If you use Hashem's name to greet somebody,
right.
that's a zilzul in Kvod Shamayim. Why do we do so? Because we feel it's absolutely critical to educate people, ourselves and others around us, that all the blessings and all the greetings and all the goodwill comes from Hashem.
You can just say, so why is that? You can just say, Hashem, you can just say, but you don't have to say Hashem's actual name. You can just say the word Hashem.
But I think that the blessing itself is inherent in God's name. Right? Kol makom sher azkir shmi avo elecha uberechticha. Why is it so critical that in every single one of the brachos of the Kohanim Hashem's name appears? Because it's the mentioning of Hashem's name that brings down the blessing.
Yeah,
when we invoke God's name, somehow, again, this is mystical, the power of the Shekhinah comes lower down into this world and has a tremendous impact. Are you asking if it's worth doing it?
I'm saying, why are they saying it's okay if I justify with it?
I guess at that point in history, it was so necessary. People were moving a little bit away, you know, from this perspective on life and lacking that focus, that appreciation. It was necessary to make this takana, says the Meiri, so that we acknowledge God's active role in divvying out brachos, in bestowing brachos.
When we say Baruch Hashem is like a zilzal, I don't think so. I think we're saying really thank God. Like, if, to me, when I say Baruch Hashem, it's not. I'm not saying it bizzle. I'm saying it, it's great. Thank you. I got a 100 on my test, but thank God. Like,
right. But if you're saying thank God, that's one thing. But we're talking about saying, you know, who was allowed to say Varech Hashem in the original, you know, in the Torah?
Well, Kohen.
I'm not a Kohen, and we're not standing here in Birkas Kohen.
We're not saying Varech Hashem, we're just saying Shalom Aleichem or Shabbat Shalom.
Well, I think it's the original Takana was to say Yivarech Hashem or Hashem Yimachem, right? Take a look. Are you seeing the Mishnah? For Yomru Lo Yivarech Hashem. That's Takana. Again, maybe this Takana fell into disuse a little bit, and it's no longer as popular as it used to be. So now we go with Shalom Aleichem. Maybe we're afraid that people, you know, if they said the name of God, the Yud Kei Vav Kei, or Adnus, they would really lose the awe that we have to have for the name of God.
Two things. Also, as far as we'll do this concept. Technically, it's so.
Yeah, I've heard it by the Sfaradim.
Yes, it's a
yeah.
Lot.
Yeah.
Also,
Hashem Yimachem.
Yeah, that's it.
It's interesting. Look at the Gemara in Makkos, number 15. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Shlosha Dvarim Asu Bezdin. There were three takanas made by Bezdin, Shalmata, in the lower courts, the terrestrial court, human courts. Viskimu Bezdin Shalmala Al Yodam. Isn't this a beautiful phrase? To convey the human initiative. Who took the initiative here in these three cases?
Malachim and
Hashem. It says Beis Din Shel Mata. No, Viskimu, they got the okay from the Beis Din Shel Mal.
The Elyonim came to be with the Tzatzonim.
See here, if you read the Gemara carefully, Rabbi Yishuv HaLevi is talking about the human initiative. Remember, we spoke about this last time. The human initiative. You remember the Anoshim Tmeyim who came forward and asked for the Pesach Sheni, and we spoke about the Nesiyim who wanted each bring a carbon for the dedication of the Mishkan, and they brought the Agolos. Those were all the human initiative. Where do we find it in Parashas Pinchas that we read yesterday? The human initiative.
Hashem makes gives a Shalom Briti.
No, the human initiative. Rabosa, the human initiative. What?
When he stabs two people.
I had in mind, because again, in the case of Pinchas killing two people, that's called Kanoim Pogimbo. I mean, that's also a good answer, but well, I had in mind the B'nai Slavcha, because the B'nai Slavcha,
they took a lot into their own hands.
Well, I wouldn't say that, but at least their initiative was, let's get a hold of a piece of land in Eretz Yisrael. Our father died without leaving any sons. Therefore, we want a part of Eretz Yisrael. And based on that, the whole law of inheritance, that if there are no sons, it goes to the daughters, that was all formulated by Moshe Rabbeinu. What are the three things Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi has in mind? Number one, Mikra Megillah. Oh, Rabbi, so we're going to have a lot to say about that. Mikra Megillah. What's the human initiative of Mikra Megillah? Megillah is one of the 24 books of the Tanakh, is it not?
Well, human initiative was choosing to lean it.
Excellent. To designate one day out of the year and require that on that day we all have to get together and read the Megillah.
I don't think it's one day that's designated.
Well,
it's
in
these
it's 2 days.
Rules, it's Fatness Day, but if this happens, it's
right, it's, yeah, basically it's 2 days.
Pretty much a whole designated week. Right.
What else?
Where's the time that they set for?
She'ela Shalom. What do you say?
There's the time they set.
Right. She'ela Shalom B'Shem. Okay? So this concept of She'ela Shalom B'Shem, that we greet someone and pronounce, enunciate the name of God, the holy name of God, as the source of bracha, that's a takana bezdin shel mata, v'skimu bezdin shel mala. And finally, we have havas meiser. Okay, that's a whole different sugya for another evening about Havas Meiser. Says the Ritva, look at number 16, Usha'ela Shalom B'Shem Pirush. Afal Pisha Nira, it appears at face value. Kimazkir Shem Shemayim Levatola. Who says you have to greet someone by naming God, by expressing the name of God? V'yeshbo Mishum Lotisa. That's a serious violation. You know, Chazal said the Gemara Shavuos that when Lotisa was enunciated by God, the whole universe shook. Because Lo Yanaka, you remember the Torah says Lo Yanaka, there's not going to be, it's going to be passed on through generations to punish for terrible things. Ela Asu Kein, Mishum Eis Lasos Lashem, See, the Ritva's formulation is a little bit different than the Meiri. The Meiri says, "Kadeshi Yodu Shasholom V'Shar Brachos Magios Mikvodo," to educate the people, transmit the idea that all the brachas come from what? From Kavod, from the Kavod of Hashem, from the glory of God. The Ritva has it a little differently because people began to forget the name of God. That's a terrible thing. What do you say?
How you forget the name?
So that's why they made a takana, in order to stop this situation where they were forgetting the name. That's what the takana they made. Okay then. Okay, Rabos, I have a new page for you tonight. Okay, I have it in both Hebrew and English. Again, I don't think you need the English, but no, it's on both sides of the page. Everybody's getting both English and Hebrew, whether you like it or not. But okay then. In case you happen to find the original, I gave it in for photocopying here in the office. All right. So again, you can follow me in the English if you like. I'm gonna study the Hebrew because I think you're perfectly capable of understanding the Hebrew.
Now we haven't learned.
And Rabosai, what we're gonna see here is the next stage in the development of halacha. We've seen that Moshe Rabbeinu got all the mitzvot where? At Har Sinai. The Chazon Ish says he got it over and over and over again. Yeah. Finally codifying at the end of the 40 years Barvas Moab before his death. And then Torah became a closed book. It was divided into two, the Torah Shebech Sav and the Torah Shebal Peh. And then we saw a number of takanos, which in a sense undermine that distinction between Torah Shebech Sav and Torah Shebal Peh for the sake of Eis Lasos Lashem, Heferu, Sorasech. Now I want to go on to the next level. Where do the Chachomim come in? What authority do they have? If by chance we...
God gave them authority.
Yeah, but where is that authority? Where is it written? Where is it based? It's got to be based in the Torah. Where in the Torah? Do we happen to have here a Rambam? Do we have a Rambam? The last chelik in the Rambam? If you have it, I just want to read to you. But actually, it was supposed to be on this page, but it got left out. Oh, yeah. It's the Rambam.
Oh, you should check them there.
Who knows where in the Rambam would I find? Here's a good quiz question. Where would I find the authority of the Chacham?
Has all the teachings of Rambam.
The authority of the Chacham. If you have the last volume of the Rambam.
This one goes until Shoftim.
It's fine.
Shoftim, that's the end of the Rambam. That's the 14th book.
Oh, there you go.
There you got it. Okay, perfect. So, if you open up to the book of Shoftim, which is the 14th book of the Rambam, correct? And you look in Hilchos Mamrim, Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph, and you'll see the authority of the Chachamim. The Rambam says the following. It's Mamish almost at the end. The last section in the Rambam is Hilchos Melachim, the Law of Kings. But not long before that, we have Hilchos Mamrim. Let me just find it for you and for me. Oh, here it is. So Ram says the following. Bezdin HaGadol should be Yerushalayim. That's the highest court in Israel. Anybody know how many members there were?
72.
71 members. And they sat where?
In a circle.
No, where? Where were they located? Oh, no. I'm not saying how they were situated.
The courtyard.
Yeah, where in the Beit HaMikdash?
Courtyards.
Lishkas HaGozes. Correct. Lishkas HaGozes. Now look how the Rambam describes them. It's an unbelievable Rambam. He says, Shehem Ikar Torah Shebal Peh. Hem Ikar Torah Shebal Peh, meaning the transmission of the Torah Shebal Peh is given over to the hands of whom? Who's in charge? Somebody has to be in charge. So it's going to be the Beis Din HaGadol Shebi Yerushalayim. Okay?
No.
71. Veheim Amudei HaHorah, they're the pillars of Horah. What does Horah mean? Horah.
Order.
It means psak. It means deciding in difficult questions, in issues that come up, who's going to have the final authority. Could you imagine, my friends, if today we had the Sanhedrin of Yerushalayim? No. What would be completely impossible? What would be a thing of the past?
Getting some people to actually agree on one thing.
No, they don't have to agree on one thing. They vote by majority. But what would you absolutely, abolish? Machlokes. There would be no machlokes. If we had a Beis Din HaGadol today, there would be no machlokes. I mean, they would fight it out. And then their Omeid Leminyan, which is called a vote, and majority rules. That's exactly what happened up until the moment that we're going to sit and cry about over these weeks, during these weeks of Churban Habayis, and when the Beis Din HaGadol Shebishlaim ceased to function. If you look in the Kinnis that we recite on Tisha B'Av, you'll see a number of references to the Beis Din HaGadol, which no longer is in function, and therefore we no longer can say Hey Ma'amudei Ha'ora U'mehem Chok U'mishpat Yotzei L'chol Yisrael. But wait a minute, my friend. I live in Tveri. The Beis Din HaGadol is where?
Yerushalayim.
In Yerushalayim. So they issue a Hora. I don't like their Hora. And I'm going to get up in Tveria, get a rabble rouser, get a couple other guys with me, and I'm going to disagree with them. What's the system of checks and balances here that absolutely guarantees the final decision is in the hands of the Beis Din HaGadol?
God allows them to make these
choices. No, Rabbi says it's a parsha in the Torah. A parsha of the Torah that guarantees that there won't be a situation as I described it. Yeah. No, a parsha, an episode. Talk to me about an episode in the Torah. It's in Shoftim. We haven't read it yet, so you maybe read it from last year. I'll give you a hint. The first word of it is Zakein.
Zakein Ben Sohu.
Close to Ben Soromar, but a Zakein. Ben Soromar is 12. What kind of Zakein are we talking about? A Zakein?
Katan.
Mamre. Okay, you never heard of it. Anyway, okay, I somehow assume guys of your age, you're already juniors in high school, am I right? That by now you have learned Parsha Shoftim and you know what a Zakein Mamre is. But okay, so I made a bad assumption.
Wait, what's a junior?
And we're going to talk a lot about this. The fact that we don't know Chumash and we're learning Gemara and we don't know Chumash. Okay? That somehow comes under Eis La'asos La'Hashem Eferu Sarasecha. It's a real Eferu Sarasecha. Anyway, so the Zakein Mamre, if a person in Tveria says, well, I'm a Chacham and I'm even smarter than the Beis Din HaGadol, and I'm going to poo-poo their decision, and I'm going to issue my own decision. He's a Zakein Mamre. What happens to him?
He's evil. He gets Gila. And they hang him.
I don't know if they hang him.
They kill him.
But he gets Chenek. Chenek is, yeah, Chenek. It's not enough fun. Alright. U'mehem mishpat, choku mishpat yotzei l'chol Yisrael. So if there's any controversy, and any issue, any question, and we don't know the answer, who do we go to? Who's the final authority? The Beis Din HaGadol Shmishalayim? Ah. Aleihem Hivticha Torah. The Torah relied on them. Why? Where do we see this? Shenemar al pi haTorah asher yerucha. Pasuk Chumash. Mitzvah Saseh. And then the Rambam goes on and says, Umisha eino osek Torah. Awesome. Over below Saseh. If you violate their Hora'ah, their decision, their verdict, you violate a Losa. Shenemar lo tasur mikol asher yagidu lecha. Yamin Usmo. Fine. What comes under the jurisdiction of the Beis Din? Give me a minute, just to hear the Rambam. Not for me, not for my covet. I want to hear the Rambam. He was a pretty,
nice
pretty serious Talmud Chacham, the Rambam. You know what I'm saying? What comes under the authority of the Beis Din HaGadol Shel Yerushalayim? Number one, Echad Dvarim Shalomdum. Mipi da'atam, things that they derive from the Torah based on their logic. Da'atam means logic. How can they apply their logic to derive conclusions from the Torah? Bi'achas min amidos sha'atorah nidreshes b'hem. How many amidos are there? Who remembers? 13. Excellent. U'mashenira be'nehem, and what they think is correct based on those amidos. That's number one. Number two. The echad dvarim shasam siagla Torah. What are we talking about now? Offense. Wonderful. So, but what are we talking about?
Keeping
the yeah, you're correct. Not doraisas. Until now, he's talking about doraisas. You derive something from one of the yud gimel midos. That's doraisa. Right, but now we're talking about Asyag Drabbanon. Ulefima Shashah Tzricha. And the Beis Din HaGadol is going to decide according to the need of the hour what siag they should institute. Vehein hagzeros, vahatakonos, vahaminhogos. Wow. Did you hear that last word? The last word. I'm going to read it again. Hein hagzeros, vahatakonos, vahaminhogos. What do you see from this Rambam? What's a minhag? Oh, you know what? I decided that here in the Kolel, we're going to have a minhag that every 3 hours somebody's going to go out and blow a shofar. Is that a minhag?
That's awesome. Let's do it.
But what's the answer? The Rambam is telling us a gevaldig chiddush here. Rabbosai, listen up. A minhag has to get the okay. It has to get the geshpanka, as we say. It has to get the teeth. And it has to register through the Beis Din HaGadol Shebi Yerushalayim. So we have three categories now under the Rabbonot. We've got Gzeros, we've got Takonos, and we've got Minhogos. V'chol echad mi'elu ha'shloshet dvorim mitzvahs aseh lishmo lehem v'over al echad mehem over belos aseh. Harei u'omer al ha'torah shayerucha elu ha'takonos v'agzeros ha'minhogos. It's unbelievable. Who would think that if I violate a Durabanan, then I'm over not only an essay doraisa, but also a losase doraisa? Can anyone think of the most basic principle that differentiates between a Doraisa and a Drabbanon? So what do you think the Rabban...
Doraisa you do Chumra and Rabban and Kula.
What do you think the Rabban is going to pounce upon the Rambam? If every single Drabbanon, whether it's Siyogim, or Minhagos, or Takonos or Minhagos, all that is comes under what if you violate it? Lotasur, Aviasisa, Losa sent an essay, then by definition, what should I do in a case of a Safik Durabana? I gotta be Machmir. Why do I have to be Machmir? It's a Doraisa. Every Durabana, the Rambam is accused by the Rabban of breaking down the whole distinction between a Doraita and a Durabana.
That's how we hear that really every Durabana technically really is a Doraisa anyway.
That's right. It's not only a Doraita, it's a double Doraita.
I mean, in some sense, you can agree with the Rambam because God.
I hope so.
God gave the power to the Rabbanon. So, in some sense, there is some Doraita in the Rabbanon.
What you're going to have to say is the following: the source for it, the power and the authority in the Rabbanon is Doraisa. You know, obviously, the power and the authority has to come from the Torah itself, and we have these psukim that it comes from. But the Cheftza Shel Mitzvah, in other words, the mitzvah unto itself is the Rabbanon. So, in other words, the Chiyuv is the Rabbanon, but when I fulfill that chiyuv and I'm listening to the chum, upholding what their decision and ruling was, then I obtain a kiyum doraisa. If I violate the drabbanon, then I undermine an iser doraisa plus a mitzvah doraisa. Now I want you to look at this page I gave you. We'll look at who wrote the Shari Tshuva. Does anybody know? Oh, good. It's not in English.
The guy who burned the Rambam's fire?
No.
That's pretty sharp. I'm impressed.
I wrote his name.
The yes. Rabbit.
Okay, no. Do you remember where you lived? In what country?
Rome.
Spain.
Well,
Spain.
Spain.
Excellent.
Well, I think because he brought the Rambam Sfarad.
Yeah. So, this is Rabbeinu Yonah.
Oh,
and if you're ever in Spain, if you're ever in Barcelona, you go out of Barcelona about a half hour, and you'll get to Girona. And the old city of Girona is still intact. In fact, if you look closely, because I was there, you can pretty much see where the mezuzahs were. Wow. 1,000 years ago. That's right. And you're walking on the same cobblestones that Rabbeinu Yonah walked on 1,000 years ago. In fact, in Barcelona itself, there's what's called the Cahal, which is where the Jewish community was, the ghetto of Barcelona. And I remember passing a place where they said that this was the house of the Rashba. The Rashba was from Barcelona, but the Ramban was in Barcelona. This was the golden age of Spain, says Rabbeinu Yonah.
It's not buried.
What's not buried?
He is buried also.
Who's buried?
I'm saying
Rabbeinu Yonah, I don't know where he's buried.
Not buried.
Same buildings?
Yeah.
There's a Jewish museum in Girona. It's nothing to write home about, but says Rabbi Yona, v'takonos chachomim v'gidreihem. You should know that all the takonos and the gedarim, you know, the fences, like you said before, that the chachomim established in order to protect us from violating any averus, yisod, it is the foundation l'derech hayira, to achieve yira, the fear of God. Kiyasu gader varchaka pentiga yad odom beisur haTorah. In other words, if I want to keep you away from touching something that's very severe, I have to push you and fence it around. And he gives a vashal. Kibal asoda. This is that we're getting into the thinking of the Chacham, how they think. You own a field. You don't want anyone to come into the field, and especially you'll come in with his animals. So what do? You put up a fence, right? Asher yase goder lisadeyu. He'll fence around his field. Kasher yokar v'yena, because it's very valuable for him. Ki yore is afraid. Pen yikonsu bo b'nei adam. People will come in. V'hayu l'mishach shor u'lmir asoseh. They'll come in with their oxen and their sheep, and they'll trample upon all his grains or whatever he's growing there, his tomatoes. And that's what the Chachamim do in order to guarantee that we don't come and violate an Isur Torah. They set up fences and harchokos. Ke'inyan shenemar, and this is based on a pasuk. In other words, the Chachamim are mandated to do this. They have to use their wisdom, their insight, according to the time and the place, and see how to set up fences. Shenemar, ushmartem es mishmarti. Now here, Rabbi Yonah refers to a sugya in Masechet Yevamos, and the Gemara on this pasuk, ushmartem es mishmarti, which means you should guard my mishmeret, my guard. Asu mishmeres l'mishmarti. In other words, I gave you the guidelines to keep you away from evil, and the Rabbanon have to give you guidelines to even further keep you away. V'rov hazehirus v'agodev v'archokim in isur halo zem ikre hamor. All these cares, your special care and archokah and zehirus. How do you say zehirus? To be very careful. Yeah, that's all on the morah. This is what it means to fear God. Now take a look at the Gemara in Shabbos. The Gemara in Shabbos says, that's number two, lo yikro lo or haner. You're not allowed to read a book to the light of a candle. Remember, those candles in those days were oil. Did you ever see them? You look in the Hebrew Museum here, they still have some of the old, they had this oil lamps, right?
Made from clay.
Correct, made from clay, from cheres, and they used to tip if you needed more oil because the light was flickering, you would tip it in order that more oil would go down and feed the wicks so that the flame would go higher. That's an Iser Doraisa. Anybody know what Malacha that is?
Bone, no.
That's called Havara, right? Havara. And therefore the Chazal made a takana that you're not allowed to read a book next to this candle, next to this lamp. Because you might what? Shemayate. What does Shemayate mean? All you have to do is tip it over a little bit so that the oil goes down. And you violated one of the 39 malachas. Omar Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha. So Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha was a big shot. What did he say?
He's
sitting there. Ani ekra, don't worry about me. I'm going to be very careful. I'll read, and I won't be mata.
I was going to say that. That's what Shlomo said about the...
Excellent. Okay, you're good. So Pamachas, Kora. He was reading. Ubikesh lahatos. And he was just about to do it. He caught himself at the last second. He was about to tip it over. Omar, he declared, Kama gedolim divrei chachamim, said Rabbi Yishmael, how great are their words, their insights. Shall you omer lo yikra loraneh, that they told me not to do this. Rabbi Nosson Omer, he had a different version of the story. Kara vehita, that indeed Rabbi Yishmael read to the light and he actually did tip it over. Which means that he's chayv what? Not taris, he's chayv achatos, because obviously did it inadvertently.
Which
Rav Nassim? He was a tada, I don't know. I don't know which Rav Nassim. It was the Baal Aharon, that's for sure. Alright? Because of Al Pinkasov. I saw Rav Nassim what Rabbi Yishmael wrote in his personal diary. Ani Yishmael ben Alisha, karasi v'hitesi ner v'shabes u'lechshibana beis hamigdash avi chatos meino. I'll be a fat chatos. In other words, this is a lesson for all of us that if chas v'shalom we violate Shabbos, make sure you write a calculation down in your ledger that when the Beis HaMikdash is built. So a lot of people think that after the Mikdash is built, from then on, we'll calculate, you know, if we're chay v'chatos. That's not so. You could be chay v'chatos now. It could be that you can't bring it because you don't have what? You don't have a Mikdash to bring it. Oh, it's going to be a great line. What? That I never heard.
We don't know anything.
We're hoping it comes soon.
The Rambam says that life will be the
character
of the ceremony.
All right.
I
have
a question.
Yeah? But speak a little louder because you have a lot of competition here.
Does this apply today with the candles? When we don't have oil, that you can't benefit from.
A regular candle?
Because I had a blackout last week,
Shabbos. A regular candle? I don't think it should apply, but I'd have to double check. Ask me after the Shia Blinet, I'll try to look it up for you. Again, I think it's a specific to their candles. I don't know. Rabosai, this next Gemara will make your hair stand on end. Amar Rabbi Tarfon. It's a Gemara Kiddushin Pei Aleph in the famous Sugi of Yichud. You know, that you're not allowed to be alone with the woman.
Oh, you didn't
play other than your wife. He Zaru Bi Mipnei Kalosi. This is Rabbi Tarfon, the Gadol Hador. He was in charge of transmitting the Torah from his generation to the next. And he says, watch out for me. Make sure I don't go near my Kala, my own daughter-in-law. Can you imagine? He was afraid that he might sin with his daughter-in-law. This is Rabbi Tarfon. Ligleg Olav Oso Talmud. So one of the Talmudim heard him say that and he started laughing. Come on, what do you think? We're a bunch of lowlives? Omer Rabbi Avo Mishum Rabbi Chanina Ben Gamliel Lo Hayu Yamim Mu'atim. Not too many days passed by. Achen Nichshal Oso Talmud Bechamoso.
The Talmud
had relations with his own mother-in-law. Here was this guy who was laughing at Rabbi Gamliel, who was afraid of a sexual relationship with his daughter-in-law, because he made fun of it. I mean, well, you have to be so religious here, so pious? And he himself fell in a terrible immoral sin with his own mother-in-law. And this is all based on the pasuk that we saw before, quoted Rabbeinu Yonah in Vayikra Yudches, that's number 4 on your page. Ushmartem es mishmarti. And the Rambam, in two of his introductions to his great works, speaks about this element of adding to the Torah, to the Torah law. First, in his Akdoma to Pirush HaMishnayos, basing himself on this Gemara in Yevamos that we spoke about, number 5 on your page, he divides up the halacha into a number of sections, the fourth of which, Heim Hadinim Asher Tiknum Hanavim V'Chachomim B'Chol Dor V'Dor. By the way, what chiddush do you see in that line in the Rambam, if you read it meticulously?
Nevi'im,
correct. We're talking about Chachomim.
Well, there's also the Ma'am Damar that the Nevi'im were Metakein Esther, no?
Not sure what you mean by that. You mean maybe Haggai, Zachary, Malachi was still around? Maybe.
No, yeah, they had something to do with the institution. They're saying Gemara Megillah, trying to figure out how Megillah became a part of the canon.
Oh, why it was accepted into Tanakh, you say?
Yeah.
Okay. But I think he's talking about something else. He's talking about a Takonas Nevi'im. I'll give you an example. You know that on Shabbos, besides all the do nots on Shabbos, we have also positive commands. Those are called what? And? Oneg and? They go together like horse and buggy? Kibud the Oneg. Right? Kibud means wearing clean clothes, setting up the Shabbos. Oneg is the things you eat, the delights.
Amen.
So who made that takana? And you look in the Torah, you won't see anything about Kibud Oneg.
I'm guessing the Nevi'im.
Yeah, it was Yeshayo Anovi. But you'll find many takanas in the Nevi'im. In fact, the takana of Kriyas HaTorah, which we'll fulfill tomorrow morning, was probably a Takonis Nevi'im. And I'm not sure.
I created the Torah. Moshe
is a Navi.
Right, that's Pesach and Megillah.
Correct? Who?
Rav Schachter.
Okay, great. Tell me when it is. Maybe I'll go.
Right,
my Rebbe used to give so much about Takonis Nevi'im. There's so much. I give it over on the YU site. If you guys ever have time to listen to YU Torah, so I have a whole series on the Rav's. What? Well, I taught in YU for 2 years. YU has a branch in Canada now, in Toronto. So that's where I taught. So anyway, so the Rambam says the following.
Yeah, go try.
Yeah.
Don't you live in Toronto? Rabbi Gamliel.
No, you're losing.
Okay, you with me? What time is it? We still have a few minutes? I wanted to finish this page today. V'achelek ha-revi heim dinim asher tiknum ha-nevim v'chachom b'chol dor v'dor al derech ha-siyad v'agodil ha-torah. Where did God command the Chachamim and the Nevi'im to set up a siyag and a god there? The Maimar Kloli in this general statement, who Amar what it says, Ushmartim is Mishmarti. What does Ushmartim is Mishmarti mean? Ba Kabbalah, we have an accepted tradition that dates back all the way to Moshe Rabbeinu. Asu Mishmeres Mishmarti, the Heim Asher Yikru Machachamim Gzeros. Now we go to the Rambam's Hakdama to the Mishnah Torah. It's not in this volume, it's in the previous volume. But I have it here for you on the page. And if you want to follow the English, it's on the second side, number 6. Gam yisbayar mehem dvarim shegazru chachom nevim b'chol dor v'dor laso siyag la'torah k'mo sheshomu mimoshe b'feirush shenem u'shmartim es mishmarti asu mishmeres l'mishmarti. This we saw. So the Rambam over and over again tells us that the Chachamim were given the charge of Asu Mishmeres Mishmarti to create Gedorim and Siyogim for the Torah. Okay, now I have a question for you. Who has to create a Siyag in order to avoid violating a more serious violation? From everything we've seen until now, the Chachamim, correct? Do I, as a person, as an individual, have any obligation whatsoever to create a siyag?
No.
In fact, who was the first person to create a siyag, and it messed them up really bad?
Moshe.
Way before Moshe.
Noah.
Before Noah.
Adam.
Close.
Chava,
correct. Do you remember what Chava told the Nachash?
Oh, that you didn't touch it.
Excellent, I'm impressed. Boy, tonight you're hitting a couple of big home runs.
You can't touch it, so maybe you can't eat it.
Okay, I want you on my team. So we'll win, how does Rabbi Benavid say, all those...
the breakfast beer.
Oh, I don't know. But all those great league games that he talks about.
Yeah.
You know, when he speaks, I hold on my heart. It's like one... He's got this one high pitch, you know, like... You for half hour, you know what I'm saying?
Yes. He spoke
I'm still trying to decide which of the three people I would go on if I
had choice. He spoke today for about half an hour.
Half hour.
Right before
for
Minnesota.
Yeah, I heard it. I was
there.
What happened?
I'll tell you. She died.
Who remembers the first Mishnah in Pirkei Avos? Give it to me. Moshe Kibel Torah Misinai. We start with Yeshua. Yeshua's Kenim's Kenim Levim. Nevi'im Asru Li'anche Noah Heim Amru Shlosh Dvarim. What were the Shlosh Dvarim?
The Tunim Badin.
The third one we know Tahamidu Tamidim Harbin. The third one is the one that's interesting. Asu Siyog Latar. Who is this Mishnah addressing? Who are the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah talking to when they say Asu Siyog Latar? Unbelievable. Take a look at the Tiferes Yisrael, number 8. There's a super commentary on the Mishnayos. He says, Gam Mechuyov, look at that. Chafalf, who knows what Chafalf stands for?
That's 21. That doesn't exist.
Kaf Aleph, my friend. Oh, two different words. In Aramaic it would be Kuliyam, but then it's with an ayin. Kol Echad in Hebrew. Mechuyav Kol Echad Laso Siag Li Atzmo. Every individual is obligated to set. Know thyself, Socrates said, right? Make a siag for yourself. Livli Lavo Limokom Shebekal Yovel Shomli Dechet. I mean, everyone here can imagine places that he shouldn't be going to. Yeah. You know, you hang around those places, you know that you're going to do a chait. Correct?
I don't.
So, Rabosai, anybody have a cash on the Tiferes Yisrael?
How can it be that we all do siyagim when only the Sanhedrin cash?
Again, he's saying on a personal level, forget about Sanhedrin, you have to make a siyag for yourself because you know very well that if you go down that road,
you're
a goner.
You're
going right?
to die.
I didn't say you're going to die, but let's not get all carried away. You're waiting about both sides. Let's not, with everything within reason here. But what kasha should we be asking on the Tiferes Yisrael? Who was the first to do this kind of thing?
And
she messed up big time, because what happened is the Nachash did what?
She had to push her.
He pushed her against the eights, against the pre, and she said, hey, look, you told me you can't touch it. Nothing happened to you, right? You know how people, have you ever heard this? 100 years ago, this my mother-in-law told me, 100 years ago, people used to think that if you violate the Shabbos, get zapped on the spot. Mamash, the lightning comes and strikes you. So, of course, a few people tried it, and there was no lightning. And they became fried. They went off the derech because of that. Right, this really goes back to the Nachash HaKadmoni. You know, he said to Chava, "You just touched the fruit, and I didn't see you get zapped. I mean, you did get the lightning.
God didn't kill you,
right on the spot.
Zap me,
so you might as well, you might as well go one step further. If you got that step, then eat from the Eitz Hadaat.
Even after she ate from the Eitz, she was commanded not to do in the first place. Nothing happened to her right away either, though.
So, are you asking a question, or...?
I'm just saying, this is right. It just goes along with it. Even when she did the thing she wasn't even supposed to, she didn't get zapped.
Correct. So why is it that the Tiferes Yisrael endorses and recommends that we each in an image private way make a siyag when we see that Chava made a siyag and it really boomeranged against her?
But it didn't mean that it had to boomerang against her, because there was kind of a snake who was tricking her in the process, you know?
Well, this is before.
But why was the Nachash able to succeed in tripping her? Because she added the siyag.
No,
so it's not a good
thing. She didn't add it. Yeah, what's his name did? Adam did.
Again, that's not the point. I think she did.
Avram lied to her, and then it bounced back.
I don't think that's what happened.
I
don't think so.
That you can't touch.
Open up the
chumash. Everyone has their own stake in them.
No,
Rabosai, you missed the point.
I understood.
The point is,
don't make siyagim, because the siyagim sometimes will come back and haunt you.
But why? When? When do they haunt you? What was Chava's mistake? Not that she made a siyag. That wasn't her mistake.
She didn't understand God's law.
She made two strips.
You're close, but you're not there yet.
She switched God's
law. She thought that the siyag.
She missed the distinction between the Iser and the siyag. Make a siyag, but understand that it's a siyag. Never lose focus. Never miss the forest for the trees. Once you start believing that the siyag is the isur, if you blur the distinction between the two, you're in deep trouble. We encourage you. We highly recommend you make your personal siyag.
And it
so now look at the Gaon, Rabosai. Who is the Gra? Number 9. Okay, the Vilna Gaon. Okay, let's see if we can get this in, because then we can slide into home plate without missing Baruch. Okay, says the Gaon. The Gaon says, "Call Adam." But I need you quiet, otherwise I can't accomplish what I need to in the next 5 minutes. 5 minutes of quiet, that's all I'm asking for. Ki kol adam tzarech leilech bedarko hatzarech lo. Everyone has to find his individual path according to his needs. Ki ein midas b'nei adam shavim lezelezeh. We're not all equal. There's no one universal rule for all, even though in high school they tell you there is, and that's what the principal's going to tell you, but the Gra says it's not so. So I'm going to listen to the Gra, you listen to your principal. If he knows that this is where he's used to tripping up, this is his weak spot, he has to make what? Oh God, there is siyag, offense. Be very careful in that area. But again, what trips you up is not necessarily what trips me up. Everybody has their own issues, their own challenges. Maybe your friend doesn't need shmira in that area, but you do. He needs something else to be shomer. Lachain, therefore, the wisest of all men in Mishle says the following. This is the Gaon's Pirush on Mishle. Holech be Yashro Yirei Hashem. What does it mean, Holich be Yashro? his own personal uprightness. B'derech hayosher shelo. So he's very careful. I have one of my kids is very, very careful about Chol of Yisrael. Much more careful than I am. Right? And afal pishe be'enei abrius hu ra, other people around to say, no, don't go that way. Because if you're going to get too strict about Chol of Yisrael, it's going to mess up all our vacations. Because we can't get Chol of Yisrael. You know, so one time we went to Alpha Duez, we lucked out Lubavitch was there, so we got Chol of Yisrael for Lubavitch. But it was Baruch Hashem. But she was able to drink. Ki einam yodim mashu tzarech, but people judge others and they think, hey, you're messing it up. You're doing something that's not right. The Torah never demanded that. You're getting too from on me. Says the Gaon, that's what Shlomo is telling you. Don't be scared of them. You do what you know is right for you. Afal pichet hu holech biyashra, go your way. Hu yirei Hashem. Ki misyari hu, the word who appears over and over again because it's subjective. Shalo yavo lidei avera machmas tivo harogubo, that's his teva. And therefore, the Gaon, standing on the shoulders, I believe, of the Tiferes Yisrael that we saw in number 8, tells every person to you got to blaze your own trail. What's personal and subjective for you and your needs, that's your personal way of holech biyashro. You have to be a holech biyashro. Okay, Rabbi Osai, I didn't get to the end of it, but I guess we'll have to stop now. What time is Meir? All right, 4 minutes. All right, I don't want you to be late for Baruch Hu, so we'll stop here. If you can hold on to the sheet, or at least I'll hold on to it, we'll finish it, Belineda, next time. Okay, already.